Joe Sheehan joins us. Joe has the best newsletter out there, and we have so many subscribers who listen to our show, and I'm very glad that we could make them part of your newsletter this year. Joe, how are you?
Good, Marty. Just I like the NFL. Not a huge NFL guy, but I enjoy it. So, you know, excited. A lot of my friends are in fantasy, so they're pretty excited about today. So it's a big day.
Come on, it's like New Year's Day today. It's like the opening of the baseball season. You know, you can feel it.
No, it's not like the opening of the baseball season. The opening of the baseball season should be a national holiday.
Oh, good. All right. We agree on that. But there is that that anticipation today. If you didn't have fantasy football, I'm not sure people would be nuts about it, but fantasy football has taken over, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it's when I first started doing this, baseball was bigger than football fantasy on the fantasy side. But now, you know, I do radio hits and talk to people, and right about June, they start squeezing out all the baseball for football content. And, you know, people love it. I'm not going to get away with it. People really enjoy it. DFS, of course, blew up and, you know, got a lot of people involved there. But, you know, people like what they like. And the thing about it is I think fantasy football does make football better because you've got 10, 11 games going on at once. You can watch your players. Whereas baseball, I think I'm a little more inclined to enjoy just an individual game on its own.
I agree. Well, we've got some good ones today, and one is in Cincinnati, where Mike Leake goes against DeSclafani today. But what I want to bring up with you is Arizona and what they've accomplished here, 11 of 12. They're 8 over 500 for the first time. The starting pitchers are 8-0 in the last 12 games. This is some story of Arizona. How did it happen? Who's carrying them, and who gets the credit for all this?
You look at the Diamondbacks, the team that was going to rebuild last year. They traded away Goldschmidt, made a pretty good trade for Carson Kelly and Luke Weaver. They were looking to trade Greinke even last winter. They finally did that at the trade deadline. I don't think they thought they were going to be as good as they turned out to be. Their internal development has been very good. They turned Ketel Marte into the fourth guy in a four-person trade into an MVP-caliber player. And Christian Walker was a player who had been waived by a number of teams. He's essentially had as good a year as Goldschmidt has in St. Louis. Look at the development they did of David Peralta. He's been hurt for a lot of this year. Their internal development's just been fantastic. So at the start of the year, they might have said, okay, you know, we're kind of starting to rebuild here. But the players they had, they simply made them better. You look at Torrey Lovullo's staff. You've got, you know, Johnny Oates, his bench coach, Dave McKay working on the base running. Just done a phenomenal job. Since the trade deadline, Marty, though, the real surprise has been how well they've been able to pitch. Zach Gallen, who's a rookie they picked up from the Marlins in a kind of a prospect-for-prospect trade, he's been great for them. We saw Alex Young go out yesterday and shut down the Reds. Leake is throwing today. Now, they got Leake essentially to replace Greinke's innings. He hasn't pitched all that well. He's really been the weak spot. But it's that young internal pitching that's been great for them.
Boy, this is going to be interesting. So to the second wild card, I don't know, what, 86, 87 wins, somewhere in that range, you think? Where's that second wild card going to fall? Because, look, the Cubs are, you know, struggling right now, and Baez has the fractured finger. Washington is getting taken to the cleaners by Atlanta. Where's that second wild card going to be?
I would have said 87 a few days ago. Obviously, you know, the Cubs losing, maybe you look at 86 having a chance. Some really interesting series among these teams. The Diamondbacks come to New York this week to play the Mets. The Phillies will have some games coming up. The Cubs and Cardinals, you know, those are for the division, but now the Cubs need to win them just to hold on to the wild card spot. So we'll see how the internal games shape out. But I would think that the first wild card will probably be 88-89, and then the second one will be 86-87.
Well, for Arizona to get to 87, they'd have to go 12-8. And that's not that's doable for me.
It's absolutely reasonable. And they're taking advantage of a soft spot in the schedule, beating up Giants, the Reds this week in Cincinnati. And you've got to do that. We've seen the Cardinals. The Cardinals have essentially taken control of the NL Central, and they haven't played a winning team since, I don't know, the middle of 2015, it feels like.
Joe Sheehan with us. Joe, where does someone subscribe to the newsletter?
JoeSheehan.com. And if you go there now, you can see excerpts from stuff I've done this week on Justin Verlander, on the Diamondbacks, who I wrote about the other day, on the Tigers and this ridiculously bad stretch of baseball they've played, kind of touching on everybody. With a lot of focus on the pennant races, of course, in recent weeks. But check it out, JoeSheehan.com. There are links there as well for subscribing. I just introduced lifetime subscriptions this week. I should mention that I'm 48 years old and I'm a non-smoker, so I'll be around for a while.
Okay.
So you can check that link out as well.
All right, very good. I love getting the newsletter. I look forward to it. You wrote another one that you about Acuna, and the 30-30 and the history of 30-30, 30 steals, 30 homers, and Acuna is just incredible. Let's talk a little Acuna and the accomplishment he's made, and if he could get the 35-35, where it puts him.
Yeah, that, I mean, obviously, base 10 counting, we care about 40-40, which has been done four times. We care about 30-30, which, you know, when I was a kid, it was a big deal. When Dale Murphy did it, I want to say in 83, only four guys had done it up to that point. You know, Ken Williams in the 20s, Hank Aaron, I want to say Willie Mays, maybe one other player had ever gone 30-30. But then it became a very common thing. You know, Howard Johnson had a 30-30 year. I want to say Raul Mondesi had a 30-30 year. For about a 25-year stretch, it was every year somebody would pretty much get to that number. And then as stolen bases have fallen off in recent years, it's become harder and harder. If you look at relative to the league, somebody going 30-30 today is incredibly difficult because not a whole lot of guys are going to steal 30 bases. So, you know, Christian Yelich actually got there yesterday as well. Acuna, of course, the youngest player to ever go 30-30. Trout becoming the youngest player. Excuse me, second youngest behind Trout. Trying to become the youngest to go 40-40. But even 35-35 is something that's fairly uncommon. I want to say it was 11 players when I did it the other day. And you look at that baseline, you know, it's like Eric Davis had an 80 steal, 27 homer season. That's really impressive. And Barry Bonds had 11 steals the year he hit 73 home runs. I jokingly call that the best 30-30 season ever. But when you can show that balance of skills, which for most of baseball history was not embodied in the same player. We've been spoiled the last couple of generations. It was always very rare to have a player who could have that kind of power and that kind of speed. And when you see it in a player as young as Acuna, you see the future of baseball. He's a plus defensive center fielder. He draws walks. He runs. He hits for power. He does everything, and he's 21.
Boy, great, great point. And I'm just looking up as you're talking, stolen bases in the National League. Now, we're talking 30-30, 30 homers, 30 stolen bases. You're in the Willie Mays territory and Beltran and, as Joe says, Eric Davis and people like that. All right, stolen bases, Acuna 34, Trey Turner 31, Yelich got there, so he's 30-30. 40-30, actually. Then you go Dyson, Marte, I guess, Starling Marte of Pittsburgh. Robles, maybe in the future he could do it. Story has got 20. And that's about it for the big hitters. Kelton Wong has got 20. In the American League, you got Malik Smith with 40. Mondesi, 37 of Kansas City. Villar, 33 from the Orioles. Andrus, 27. Ramirez of Cleveland, 24, D. Gordon, Lindor, the Shields, Tommy Pham, and Kiermaier. It's not, you're right, the stolen base, we know it's going away, and the 30-30 guy, it's pretty rare now.
Right, because if you only have 8 or 9 guys in here that are even going to steal 30 bases,
right,
it's unlikely that one of them is also going to be a 30-homer guy. And there were periods in baseball history where it was basically impossible to be a 30-30 player. If you go back to the dead ball era, nobody was hitting 30 home runs in a season. And there were big parts of the middle of the 20th century where guys didn't steal bases. There was a 15-year stretch in the American League where nobody stole 30 bases. So it takes playing in the right era of baseball history to even have a chance to be a 30-30 player.
All right. Maybe A-Rod 42-46 may be the best. I don't know. But I remember the 40-40 stuff for him and Canseco and Soriano. All right, let's jump ahead a little bit to Verlander and his place in baseball history. And, of course, yesterday pitches wins number 18. And if that's not good enough for everybody today, Cole goes against King Felix in Houston. How about that 1-2 punch, and where does Verlander fit in for you?
You know, a couple of years ago, I would have he needs a lot of bulk innings to get to the Hall of Fame. Typically, the Hall voters hadn't put in short career starters for a very long time. There was a long stretch of voting where the only sub-300 win pitcher they put in, I think, was Pedro Martinez. But with Roy Halladay, the late Roy Halladay, going in on the last vote, it feels like the voters are finally adjusting to the changed usage patterns. Guys don't make 40 starts a year anymore. When you don't make 40 starts a year, it's harder than 20 games. You're not throwing 250, 260 innings anymore, so your career numbers are going to be lower. And I feel like the election of Halladay shows that we're now going to be putting in the best pitchers of this era, even if their volume doesn't match the best pitchers of previous eras. So I think that bodes well for Verlander. And let's not forget, he's also had this third, I guess, bounce you call it, to his career, where he's picked up a ring in Houston. He picked up the no-hitter. He's obviously pitching at a high level. He could pick up another Cy Young Award this year. He already had a place in history, you know, a couple of pennants with the Tigers, winning the American League MVP award back in 2000, forgive me, Marty, I think it was 11. But I think now he's kind of, we're not talking about, is he a Hall of Famer anymore? We're talking about, you know, how far up the historical ladder will Justin Verlander eventually end up?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. All right, Joe Sheehan with us as we wrap it up. Joe, wild card National League, Cubs, Washington, hang on here?
Yeah, I do think so. The Cubs, even with the loss of Baez, they still have the best baseline talent. They just got Wilson Contreras back. Health has been a huge issue for them, particularly over these last 3 months. They never seem to have the full lineup there. But I do think they'll be able to hold off the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are a great story. I think we've kind of known who the playoff teams are in baseball for a while now. And if the Diamondbacks were to crack that group, I think even if they only got the one game against Washington and D.C. against Scherzer, I think that would really be a great story. Baseball hasn't had surprises. Mm-hmm. We've really locked in on some great teams. We could use a surprise team breaking into that. And obviously, if it's the Cubs, there's going to be some, you know, recriminations in Chicago if it is the Cubs who fall out. But from as a fan, I think the Diamondbacks would make a fantastic story. I do think it will be Cubs. It will eventually be in Cubs Nationals, though.
Well, that's what September's all about. The MVP, Cy Young, Rookies of the Year, Managers of the Year, it all gets determined this month, really. And I'm with you. I love the September story for the team that comes out of nowhere and has that big month of September. So we'll catch up with you before the end. But I appreciate you being on and enjoy today.
Thanks, Marty. Take care.
All right. That is Joe Sheehan. And check him out on the web, joesheehan.com. And his newsletter really is terrific. All right.